without the Lamb. That's not a good thought for me. How about y'all? Y'all asleep already? Good Lord. I'm going to get busy. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed me. I look at that a lot, that sign over there, and I was sitting there just a minute ago, and so everybody look over there, that sign that's up at the top of the wall there. What's that say? Everybody read it. That kind of suggests that we've been given a job to do, doesn't it? Because we are the way. We're the way they know. That all peoples may know him. That's why we're still here. My sermon this morning is titled One Mission. And I told y'all the last time I was with you that we're going to talk about the church and sort of, you know, the book of Acts, the beginning, the early church, and what it looked like. And, you know, we're going to compare that a little bit to maybe what we're doing here today. And so I sort of want to ask you a question, just something to get you started thinking. I was up in the mountains the past couple of days, showing property up in Sugar Mountain and Beach Mountain, and had time last night to go out on the parkway for a few minutes and sit down by the lake down at Julian Price, right near Julian Price Place, and sit there for a couple of hours. And I was just thinking about church and about my sermon today and about what we do in the, you know, whether I'm saying it in the church as a body of Christ, you know, all churches, whatever, all Bible-believing churches. I was just thinking a little bit about what we do and the things we focus on. And so, have you ever considered the fact that maybe we overcomplicate our faith and our mission? So here lately, God's really been working in my heart about this, about, I had this discussion with my wife, and, you know, we go to First Baptist, and big church, you know, and a lot of things going on, and, I mean, it doesn't matter what size your church is, but there's always a lot of stuff going on. We always have a lot of stuff we're doing, you know, a lot of things that are going on, and so have you ever considered that maybe we overcomplicate it? What I mean by that is we've been given a mission that all people may know him. Both individually and corporately, we've been given that mission. And that mission is to simply do whatever it takes to share the gospel with the world and make disciples. The couple that was up here just a moment ago talking about translating scripture, they should be overwhelmed with people praying for them and giving and doing whatever needs to be done, because we in our country, in our world today, we have no excuse that there's that many people that doesn't have the printed word of God in their hand. We are without excuse. And I'm telling you now, talking to me too, we're without excuse in this world today that if we cannot get stuff translated to people. I mean, I know it's difficult. We know some people who do that, and it's a very, very difficult and complicated, long process to learn a language, and especially one that's not in written form. But that's an important mission, and, you know, God bless you for what you're doing. That's awesome. We'll be praying for you. I will definitely be praying for you. But what it seems like we've done with this mission we've been given is that we've turned it into this ritualistic religious practice that completely robs us of the ability to do the very thing that we're called to do. What is it we're called to do again? Tell the world about Jesus. How do we do that? I mean, how can we tell people the gospel? What's the first thing we have to do? We got to receive it first. But yeah, living it comes in too. But we got to receive it first. We got to receive it, and we got to let it change who we are. And how do we receive it? Through the word of God, right? That's what the method that God has given for the gospel. That, you know, there is no gospel apart from the word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and what? The Word was God. And then verse 14 of John 1, it says, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. So, y'all know that religion is dead? Who said that? In so many words, Jesus did. Over and over and over again. Read the book. Read the Gospels. And read what Jesus did whenever he talked to religious people. He told them there were tombs. There were tombs. They were full of dead men's bones. On the outside it looked good, but on the inside, they were just dead. Now, they looked good, and everybody thought they were good. And remember, Jesus talked about it before, how they, you know, they'd get on the street corner in front of where a lot of people were gathered, and they would pray loudly these magnificent prayers. Listen, I've been to a lot of churches. Guess what? That happens every Sunday from the platform. Certain people get called on in a church to pray because of their ability to speak. It happens all the time. You know that your ability to speak has absolutely nothing to do with your ability to pray. Prayer is you communicating with the God of creation, the God of the universe. It is a deep, deep spiritual thing. It's not something that you just flows out of your mouth. It has to come from the heart, or it means nothing. And we're going to see that as we start moving through these next few weeks, as we talk about prayer, and we're going to talk about prayer and what it looks like as a body of, you know, as both individually and as a body. We talk about giving. I'm not going to tell y'all which Sunday I'm going to preach on giving because they won't nobody be here. But yeah, we're just going to talk about some of the practical things that churches do, because that's what you have to do. Every so often, a church needs to get back to just very basic stuff. Get back to basic. We need to do that as individuals. You know, this week, I'll just tell you a little bit about this weekend for me. This is the craziest weekend ever. Friday morning, I got up and left at 6 a.m. I had to go to Boone. I previewed 17 properties on Friday for a client between Beach Mountain and Sugar Mountain. I got up Saturday morning, and we went and looked at 10 different properties. I finished up my sermon notes and stuff, and I got up at 4 a.m. this morning. Got prepared to leave, and I drove from Boone this morning to here, and so I'm going to preach, and I'm going to go home and grab a quick lunch, and then at 3 p.m. this afternoon, I have to be at First Baptist to do life group training. I'm one of the trainers in our annual life group training. So it's a crazy weekend, right? It's busy. This is the story of my life. My wife could tell you that I stay too busy. But just think about it for a moment with me. What does God ask you to do? What does God ask the church to do? The answer to both is one and the same. See, God never intended for the church to become this huge, cumbersome beast that it has become. Go read the book of Acts. I'm asking you. I'm telling you. This week you need to read the first few chapters of the book of Acts, because that's where we're going to be the next few weeks. We're going to be all the other places too, but read about the early church and read what it was. God never called us, and I'm not talking about numbers and size. I mean, every church, you know, church should grow as much as it can in a community. I'm not talking about that, and I'm just saying that a church, no matter if it's a small church or a big church or whatever, it has to stay focused. The church has to stay focused on the mission. If it ever becomes something other than the mission, then something's wrong. Because really, the plan that we're going to look at over the next few weeks in the book of Acts is actually for a church to, you know, a church to begin, to grow, and then out of that church, another church grows, and another church grows as we move. You know, we have this thing that we've done here, especially in the South, where we get, and I'm not being critical, don't hear my heart, don't leave here today and say, oh, he told me I should go to another church. That's not what I'm saying to you. But really, the idea of sharing the gospel that Jesus had was for us to just be constantly moving. Going out, sending people out. Maybe if you can't go, maybe somebody, you can send somebody else. Maybe you can't go to a foreign mission field, but you can pray for them, or you can sponsor them, or you can do. I mean, the idea that God has for the church is for it to constantly be a moving organism that constantly expands and grows and branches out to other people. Right? That's the idea. That's the idea of Scripture. But I would venture to say, though, that the average church spends very little time focusing on the true mission that has been given by God. I'm a deacon in a 7,000-member church, and I can tell you that it happens all the time. I've been involved with other churches and other ministries, and I'm sure it happens here, too, that if we were to just take a chart, if we were just to draw a chart up on the wall each week of the things that the energy that gets expended in a church, I would venture to say that very little would be in the column of the mission. There'll be a lot of things that we do. There'll be a lot of children's ministry. There'll be a lot of events. There'll be all these things. And I'm not talking about, there's nothing wrong with those things. But those things are not the mission of the church. The things that we do here, that you do here at Herman Baptist Church, they are to empower you, to educate you, and to prepare you for the mission, which is, come on, that all peoples may know Him. So, a scriptural principle for our lives is that we constantly evaluate our lives. And that's what I want you to do today. When you leave here today, or you can start right now, start evaluating your life. Ask yourself, the things that I did this past week, how did they contribute to the mission? How did they contribute to that all peoples may know Him? And that doesn't mean that you can't work a job, you can't go to the ball games, you can't do it. You can listen, God intends for us to have fun. I don't have any idea. I mean, there's nothing. You know, these people that walk around, I love Jesus, glory, and never crack a smile. Something's wrong. Paul spent an immense amount of time talking about the joy that we should have. And joy is not dependent on whether I feel good when I wake up. Joy is from within. You know, happiness is dictated by circumstance, but joy is something that comes from within. My daughter's sitting back here. I always love her, but I don't always care for the things she does and the things she says. Right? Right, babe? But I always love her. Same thing with joy and happiness. Life does not always have to be happy, but we as Christians, we should not have to try to be joyful. Remember that Reckless Love of God song that was playing when we started, when right before church began? One of my very favorite songs. I told her that I woke up this morning, actually, in my hotel room, and I was singing that song. Because that's who Jesus is. The love that God has for us is a reckless love. I mean, it is a love that it made Him abandon His own life for us. Reckless love. And that's what God intends for us to have. God intends for us to have a reckless love for our community, for our neighbors, for our enemies. What? See, that don't say that some peoples may know Him. It says that all peoples may know Him. I would also say to a greater extent that most Christians spend even less time individually accomplishing the task that God has given them. We've talked about that over the past few months and even for the past year about the individual things that you and I need to do. Listen, you can't come here and worship if you ain't been worshiping all week. I'm just going to tell you that when you come here, if you have not spent any time in prayer, any time in the Word of God, and any time in personal worship, you're not coming here to worship. You're coming here for a ritualistic, religious experience to say, I go to church every Sunday. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's churches all over this community that are filled with people that go to church because mom always took them to church and they just never quit going. What are those people accomplishing for God? Nothing. And when we get to the end of this sermon, I'll read you a verse that tells you what Jesus will say to those people one day. But not our job to worry about those people. Whose job is it for us to worry about? Everybody, be like this. It's ourself. Take care of yourself. Don't judge anybody else because when you judge, you'll be judged by the same measure you judge other people. And boy, if that were true, if that's true, and it's in the Word of God, so I say it's true, some of us are going to have something to answer for one day. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying every church is doing bad things. It's actually quite the contrary. Church as a corporate body is doing a lot of wonderful things. Now, don't y'all hate it when people do air quotes? Good. Because I'm going to do it several times this morning just so you remember it. See, there are a lot of Christians out there doing God's work and accomplishing great things. In the name of God. But think with me for just a second. Aren't there a lot of other organizations and individuals out there doing great things? And much of what they're doing could be considered God's work. Things like feeding hungry children. Is that a good thing? Rescuing orphans. Delivering human trafficking victims from bondage. Things like organizations who give medical care to sick people. There are groups of people who give their whole lives to eradicating disease. And we could go on and on and on about all the organizations around the world that are doing a lot of great, come on, do it with me, things. But the problem is that while all of those things are great, and there are indeed things that we should be doing as Christians and as a church, all those things are in the Bible. All those things are in Scripture that we are to do. And there's a lot. There's a whole laundry list of things that y'all. Do y'all know? Have y'all ever read it? There's a whole list of stuff in the Bible that we're supposed to be doing. But they're not the primary mission of the church. Nor are they the primary mission of individual Christians. See, all the things we have mentioned result from one thing. The disease, the sickness, sexual perversion, parents abandoning their children, people being unable to feed themselves, people being unable to clothe their children. What do they all result from? One word. Say it together. Sin. Do they result from the sins that I commit daily? This is a. I love this question. When I say that to people, they get so confused about what sin is it that God judges? God judges all of them, but which one of them dooms us to death? Unbelief. But do you know that it's not the things that I do bad day by day that will send me to hell? I was born a sinner. The Bible, I do those things I do daily because I'm a sinner. I'm not a sinner because of the things I do daily. Y'all tracking with me? Do I need to say it again? I'm not a sinner because of what I do. I do what I do because I was born a sinner. And that, you know what that does when you get that concept through your head is it eliminates every ability you have to please God in your flesh. You know that the Bible says that everything, that even the best, that little scripture verse that says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Did you know that that word actually says righteousnesses? Go study the Greek. Go look at what it says. Go look at the original language and look at what it says. And you know what that verse means? What that verse means is that you and I combine. Every person, the idea of the phrase there is that every person, if we took every person, their best moment, the best moment of your life, and we put them all together, they make God sick. See, love is not what we do, it's what we are. And it's expressed in what we do. I know, I'm making everybody think this morning. I'm trying to make you think. I want you to think about this. You know, God wants us to think. You know that's how cult. I was watching a thing the other day. They were replaying the who remembers the Waco, Texas thing with where they the David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. Y'all remember that? I remember watching that live when it was happening. And I was sitting there thinking about it. And I used to study cults and different world religions and do all that kind of stuff. And do you know that all cults and all false religions have one common thread? That the people did not educate themselves individually about the truth that was being preached from the pulpit. And it's something I tell y'all every time I preach. Don't believe me. Go see for yourself. If I tell you something from Scripture, then go look. Go find it. If you disagree with me, that's great. But you want to come to me and disagree with me, you better be able to show me. I can't get my page to change. Pardon me. See, all those other organizations, all those people, there's people all around the world. There's individuals, there's atheists, there's agnostics, there's all kind of people doing all kind of great things around the world today. But see, that's why God has given the church just one mission. And that mission is the true cure to every other problem in the world. It's the only true cure to all the problems of the world. The awesome mission of sharing the love of God to the world by being His witnesses of the delivering power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the primary mission of the church, and it is the primary mission of every born-again believer. Every. It doesn't matter if you're a child. It doesn't matter if you're a senior adult. It doesn't matter what it is. We've been given a mission. And that now that mission looks different for everybody. Not everybody is called to stand here on this platform. Not everybody is called to translate Scripture. Not everybody is called to go. But what we are called to do is we're called to go and to share the gospel wherever we may be. Look at Jesus' ministry. All He did was travel from one place to the next, and as He went, He made sure that all people may know Him. He just walked, and He just talked. How many words do you speak in a day? You may know. Tell me next Sunday. Count them. I'm just kidding. You can Google it. Women, y'all speak a lot more than we do on the average, just saying. That's not true for me. No, for me, I talk way more. Look, but open your Bibles with me for a minute. And look with me in Matthew chapter 28. I'm almost out of time, and we've only got started. We've only begun to have fun this morning. But look at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, and let's see what the Bible says. This is right, you know, this is right before Jesus is getting ready to depart back. This is sort of the book of Acts. This is pre-early church, right before the early church is birth. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Mark 16:15 says, "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.'" Luke 24:46-49 says, "And He said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem.'" Verse 48 says, "You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." See, nowhere in these passages, nowhere do you find that the mission God gave the church is this complicated mess that we see today that's happening in the world. People around and I saw a thing the other day, a while back, we were discussing this at a meeting. And we were talking about that in Union County, there's 89 Bible-believing churches that are, you know, active churches in Union County. And did y'all know that two churches out of the 89 are carrying 80% of the people that are active in church today? The other 87 churches are only carrying 20% of the load in this county. Shame on us. Shame on us. What is that? I mean, that all peoples may know Him. It's the only job we have. How is that possible? See, the mission is simple. It's not easy. I didn't say it was easy, and neither did God. But the mission is singular. And if we do that mission well, then the other problems will take care of themselves. You ever felt like you were overwhelmed? If you've ever felt overwhelmed in your life, raise your hand. you know why you felt overwhelmed? You were either trying to do something or to take on something that you were not equipped to handle by yourself. Guarantee you. See, we can feed all the hungry people we want, but they will never be filled without the love of God being implanted into their hearts. We can rescue every orphan, but they will never, 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 never feel truly loved until they meet the Lord. And how will they feel that love? Through us. Through us. We can fix the wounds of the sick, but they will never be truly healed until they meet the great physician, Jesus Himself. We can clothe the world in the finest clothes money can buy, but without the pure white robe of God's righteousness, which is found in Jesus Christ, they will be forever exposed to the fire of hell. Forever and ever and ever. See, I hear people say, I've mentioned this before, I hear people say all the time in churches, I hear people say from the pulpit now, man, I wish Jesus would come back today. It'd be nice for us. But if we're not doing the mission, what we're in effect saying, we don't care. Bet you could, we could walk outside and we could look. If we got up on top of the building and we could look, and did you know that 9 out of the 10 houses you could see from that thing, guess what? Lost people. Lost people. How do I know? Look around you. Look around you. We can eradicate every disease known to man, but without the shed blood of Jesus Christ being applied to their hearts, the human race will always be sick. Let's face it, if we continue to expend all of our energy fighting the wrong battle, then we will continue to lose the war. Why is morality going in the toilet? Because the church is not doing it. Listen, it is not in the lap of the Red Cross. It's not in the lap of government. It is not in the lap of anybody but the church. See, all those lost people, they don't have to answer for not sharing the gospel. We do. You don't think, you really believe, if you really believe that God will not hold you and I accountable for that, then you haven't read the book. Listen, I'm not talking about judgment in eternity. Paul is very clear about that. There's now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But if you think that you and I know the Savior of the world, and we have the only real truth in the world, and we are not doing everything in our power that all people may know Him, and you think we can do that? Do you really believe today that we can do that and just walk away? See, what we need to be praying is not, Lord, come back today. We need to pray, God, give us as much time as it takes to reach our world for Christ. There's 2.7 billion Muslims that have never heard of Jesus Christ in the world. And then there's countless other people. And I'm sure Andrew and his wife could give us, you know, statistics about all that stuff. But there's people all over the world. We live in the year 2018. All the knowledge in the world is at your fingertips, right here. You're a technology guy, right? We have more knowledge in the palm of our hand. I heard a statistic about it. You probably could tell what that is. I heard a statistic about that the other day, but I mean, it was just mind-blowing of what you and I have in one little cell phone compared to, I mean, it's like we have more knowledge than all the rest of educated humanity ever had before. I mean, we can do anything. I can. You know, do you know that when I go to you've been to the Philippines before? I saw you do some work that goes there. How many of you have ever been to Asia? Asian country takes a long time to get there, right? Because why? It's on the other side. Do you know that I can take this same cell phone that I have in my hand, the same one that I could call TC right now. We could talk from here to there. Did you know that I can pick that thing up in the Philippines? And I can talk to my wife just like she's sitting right there? So what's our excuse? What is our excuse? Don't look at your neighbor. Don't worry. Don't think about, well, yeah, this person did it. No. God, what do you want me to do? God, what would you like for me to do? I know you have a mission for me, God. What do you want me to do? What do I have to do that all people may know him? See, if we're losing the war, if we continue to lose the war, the problem with that statement is that in Matthew 16:18, this is what Jesus said. He said, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock, he was talking about himself, the rock. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will, say it with me, it will not overpower it. So why is that a problem? The reason that's a problem is that Jesus clearly said that Satan and his demons and the prince of the power of the air, the world system, that it will not prevail. It will not prevail over the church. So if we look around us and we see churches closing their doors and Christians dropping by the wayside, then the question we should ask ourselves is this. If the church as we practice it today is becoming less and less effective, and it looks like we're losing, then we're not the church that Jesus died for. He said that Satan would not prevail over it. So if we're losing the battle, then perhaps we're fighting the wrong war. See, we're worried about what people wear. We're worried about how long their hair is, how long their beard is. We're worried about if they got tattoos or piercings. We're worried about everybody speaking the right way. We're worried about which music we play, this church, is that. And we're worried about all this stuff. And I could take you to a church, and my wife knows what I'm talking about. Used to be 225 people. There's two of them like this. Used to be 225, 250 people strong and growing here in Union County. And you know that there's 17, 18, 20 people sitting in that church today? That's not the church that Jesus said would prevail over Satan. The church that prevails over Satan is the one that's moving forward. It doesn't have to be a mega church. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a church that matches its community. If you have a church in the middle of Wyoming, 20 people, you probably got a raging church. But if you're in Union County right now, if you're in North Carolina, if you're in the Charlotte area, do you know that Charlotte's the number one place for millennials to move to? Look around you. How many millennials are in this room right now? It's the number one city in the country for young people to move to. Number one place for business, a lot of business to come to. We're in the top four in the nation of people just moving here, period. Just all ages. See, everything around the church is growing, and the church is not growing. And so it can only be one thing. We're not the church that Jesus intended for us to be. See, we're a lot of times, and I'm just saying the church as a whole, we are an organization that does good deeds in the name of Jesus. But in Matthew 7:21-23, Jesus had something to say about that. And it's crystal clear, and this is what he said. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven will enter. What's the will of the Father? Say it with me. That all peoples may know him. That's the will of the Father. I'll read it to you again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Remember all that relief work I was talking about a while ago? All those great things that people are doing around the world that are not the mission of the church? Listen to what he'll say to those people in the day when they stand before him in judgment. It says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, they were doing all the good things. They were doing the church stuff. The things. And they're standing before God and they say, but Lord, look at all these things we did. We fed people. We sent missionaries around the world. We did all this stuff for you, Lord. And he'll say, didn't do it for me. Did it for you. Away. And that's no joke. I'm not going to stand before God and be told, depart from me. Well, I know that. I hope you know that. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of people within earshot of this church that don't know that. And you might think, you might say, well, this is the South. How could they not know? Because you haven't told them. There's children growing up in homes in this county and in this state right now who have never stepped foot in a church, have never read the Bible. They've never even heard. I mean, they've heard Jesus, the name Jesus, but it's been used in a way that was profane. But the reason they haven't heard the Word of God, the reason they don't know about Jesus is because we haven't told them. It's simple as that. So the question today is this. Will you as an individual take a stand to get yourself focused on the mission? That's a question. Will you? Will this church rise up and say, no more. No more wasting our time trying to do what we think is right. No more standing idly by and watching our friends and neighbors slip into eternity without Christ. No more sitting in front of our television and shaking our fist at the evil in the world. No more judging the lost world by the standards that we don't even keep ourselves. See, most of the things we call God's work are good things, but those things in and of themselves will never get a lost person the one thing that he or she cannot live without. The world needs to see Jesus, and that mission rests solely upon the people that call themselves Christians. Forget the rituals, forget religion, forget playing the game, forget pretending to be something you are not, but instead, start praying, start loving, allow the Holy Spirit to direct your steps, read the Word of God, and do it. As we'll see next week as we get into the book of Acts, when we do it God's way, He will do what He came to do. If churches aren't growing, then God ain't there. The natural outcome of the mission is that the church will grow. It's inevitable. If we are doing God's work, and we'll see that next week, if we're doing it God's way and doing God's work, there will be some evidence of growth in that body. Period. Do you know that if I start tomorrow, if I start going to the gym 5 days a week, what will happen? Come on. My muscles will get bigger. Why? Because I'm exercising them. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do to make my muscles grow. If the muscles of the church are not growing, guess what? Because we're not in the gym. See, when we do it His way, He'll do what He came to do, and that is to redeem the world from the grip of sin and death through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. We, say it with me, we are, come on, we are the body of Christ. The only person I know of that ever conquered death and hell, and lives forevermore. Only one I know that stepped out onto nothing and created everything. The only one I know that can walk on water. The only one I know that can hear me every time I pray. The only one I know that will never, ever leave me nor forsake me. He's the only one. So we are the body of Christ, and we have a mission. And the mission is not in here. No, no. It's out there. And if we start getting it right in here, And I'm not talking about new programs. I'm not talking about, oh, let's scrap everything we're doing and let's start some new programs. I'm talking about just getting back to the heart of the issue, and that is we, as individuals, allow God to do something in our heart that's so marvelous and magnificent that we cannot help but speak. Whenever the disciples, and we'll see, I think a couple of weeks from now, we'll see, whenever they were commanded, do not speak. Don't ever speak the name of Jesus again. You know what they told the people? Sorry. We can't help but speak of what we've seen. And so, if you're not speaking, in some way, you don't have to preach. You don't have to cram it down people's throat. Start loving people. And if you start loving people, they'll ask you about it. See, if we start getting it right in here, then he'll help us complete the mission and we'll experience the victory that, let me tell you a little secret, he's already won. Jesus already conquered death. He already conquered the grave. He's conquered sin, and he sits at the right hand of the Father forever making intercession for you and I. We have the death of Christ. God gave us his Son's life. He gave us his Holy Spirit to indwell us. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us the ability to communicate with him through prayer. He's given us all of these things. He won the victory. The battle is already won, and the only reason that the church is not winning it is because we're fighting a different war than the one God's already won. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your Word. I thank you that You are the mission. God, we can come up with all these things and we can come up with all kind of reasons and all kind of things to do to consume people's time. And the devil loves nothing more than for us to stay too busy to remember you. God, help us. Help me as an individual. God, I pray that you would walk throughout this church this morning. And God, that you would speak through your Holy Spirit into the hearts of your people. God, I don't have anything, I haven't said anything to them this morning that can change their life, but your Word sure has. And God, I pray that you would use something that's been said this morning. God, I pray that you would use something that's been said this morning to make a difference in somebody's life. God, there may be people in here who've never heard the gospel. There may be people in this room right now who have never actually met you as Savior. And if they are, God, I pray that they would just walk down here to the front, or even if it's after the service, if they don't want to walk down to your invitation, God, change their life today. Not what we're going to do next week or next month or next year. God, help us to see what we need to do today. Save the soul that's lost. God, if there's somebody here in this church this morning that's away from you, that's walked away or has just drifted away unknowingly, God, I pray that you draw them back to yourself, because we know that you're always there. God, let us lose our pride this morning. Forget what somebody might think. Forget what somebody else might do. God, if somebody in here today needs to have a conversation with you, God, I pray they'd come down here and they would bow their knee, as we all will one day if we don't today.